There's a difference. All right. We got that on tape.
Oh,
now
really?
let's begin. Perek Vav Halacha Daled. We are here on this Mishnah. Shtei Amorim. This is a very basic halacha in Shikha. Shtei Amorim are Shikha, Shlosha Eidim Shikha. Three Amorim are Shikha, two Amorim are Shikha. If you forget two sheaves behind it, Shikha. Shlosha, if you leave three behind, Eidim Shikha. Shnei Tzibur Zaysim, similarly, two piles of olives, v'charuvim, or carobs, Shikha, are Shikha, Shlosha Eidim Shikha. Three are not. Shnei Utzanei Pishon, two bundles of flax, shikha, v'shlosh ha'im shikha. If you forgot three, it's not shikha. No, it's three is a significant amount. Therefore, if you forget it, we say it's not considered to be bona fide shikha. Shnei grogros, peret. If you leave two grapes, it's peret. Shlosha, three grapes, eno peret. Shnei shibolim. If you two stalks of grain fall from your hand, that's leket. Ushlosha, if three stalks fall from your hand, ain't a leket. Kedivrei Beis Hillel. Vakulam, in all these cases, Beisharim shlosha lanim arba l'bal bayis. They ratchet it up by one. Every time you have three, it belongs to the ani. When it's four, below the bal bayis gets to retain it. Okay. So according to Beis Hillel, the dividing line is between two and three. According to Beisharim, the dividing line is between three and four.
What's the logic that it belongs to
bal bayis? Kasav, we'll learn it in the Gemara. Okay. Rabbi Bun, Rabbi Chia, B'shem Rabbi Yechon says, "Asan kamin gan lo amar. If it's made that, if it's lo amar elutzburim. If it's like a gamma, like the Greek letter gamma, which is customarily like a resh, looks like a resh according to most of our Jewish sources. Even though I don't know if that squares away with reality. So if it's like a gamma." That's not considered to be a pile of three. Ela tzvurin has to dafka be a pile of three. It's an interesting thing. So I have one here, and one there in the shape of this resh or L. So that's not considered to be three, and it doesn't save them. They have to be all three, one on top of each other, to constitute a pile. Otherwise, they are not saved. Otherwise, they're shikha. Every halach in the Mishnah. Right? It has to be that they are not in, a pattern, but rather in a pile. There's a question about whether to read this as a statement or as a question. Is this a statement that he's making, or is it a question that he's asking? The question is not resolved. They're both versions. Okay. So, but essentially, he's saying that there's a possibility, at least, that it has to dafka be tzvurim and not kamin gam. Says Gemara, hazeisim lo. We said that if it's it's olives, then not. We said that if you take a look at that Mishnah, it says shnei tzivure zeisim. Two clusters of olives, but not two specific olives. Later in the Mishnah, we mentioned two specific grapes, right? Here we don't mention two olives, but rather two groups of olives. What's the difference between the grapes and the olives? So it says, what's the difference between piles of olives and individual olives? So the truth is, says Gemara, tziburin is gemar melacha. We said already previously that shikha is defined as when you're taking from the time you made bundles to the time that you're taking it into your, you know, silo, into your barn, into your main warehouse. So therefore, by olives, you don't take individual olives into your warehouse, right? What you do is you take bunches of olives. So therefore, the shikha is on the piles or the baskets or the bunches of olives. On that stage, if you forget two of those bunches out in the field, then that's going to be shikha. Three is not shikha. We're not talking about individual olives. So it's more again, ma ben zeisim l'tzvurim, ma ben tzvurim, ma ben zeisim, tzvurim gemar melach, tzvurim is complete, now you're going to bring it into the barn, zeisim and ona gemar melach, you're not prepared to bring it to the barn yet. Om Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua said, Rome Saisi Zaysin, which means I was harvesting olives at Rabbi Chia Goro with Rabbi Chia the Great. Finally, he said to me, Kozai Shatsu At Yocho, Lipshot Yotcha, Velitlo, anytime you can extend your hand and get an olive, In other words, you can stretch back and get it if you stretch back in that direction. Ain't a shikha, it's not shikha. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan argues. Says mikayim and shavar love shocho. Once you passed over and forgot it, harei shikha. That's it. There's no going back. Even if you can extend your hand back and it's still within reach, it's too late.
With
stalks of grain. Yes. Rabbi Lezer B'Shem Rechia Rabba says, Chati Eshko Peret. A half a cluster of grapes, if you forget on the tree it's Peret, you can't go back and take it. Says the Maratani Rabbi Chia Chati Eshko, either half a cluster, or Eshko Sholim, a whole cluster. Now the Gemara is Peret. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, what time did we learn in our Mishnah that even Shnei Gargarim, even two grapes are considered to be Peret? Grapes, individual grapes, not clusters. We spoke about grapes being barren, not clusters. So it says more an answer which nobody understands. Ready? It says Rabbi Yami, Bekoitzer Meiniach Tachas HaGefen. We're talking about a case where you were harvesting and leaving them under the tree. It's very difficult to understand exactly what he means by this. In fact, the Gemara just takes it out and he changes the whole Gemara radically. But what seems like the punch shot is that if you're putting grapes underneath your tree separately, as opposed to in a bundle. Now let me make in a pot, not a bundle, in a basket. Then I fine you. Then I say, no matter how many grapes roll away, they're all Peret. You got to give them all up to the Adi, even up to a half a cluster, even up to a cluster. However, if you did it the right way, if you put the grapes in a basket, then I say I don't fine you. And if two grapes roll out of the basket, it's not it is shik Peret. But if three grapes roll out of the basket, it's not Peret. So it's an interesting thing. You're supposed to put your grapes into a basket when you harvest them. Because if you don't put your grapes in the basket, you're cheating Zanim. Because then, theoretically, you could say, oh, none of this was Shikha, nothing would roll the Reyu Shikha. I put my grapes down on the ground, I'm not forgetting anything. So therefore, we find you, if you put your grapes directly down on the ground, no matter how many grapes roll away, even up to half a cluster, a whole cluster, it's all considered to be Shikha. However, if you put your grapes in a basket the way you're supposed to, so we can distinguish between the grapes which roll out and the grapes which stayed in the basket, in that case I say, okay, if two rolled away, that's shikha. If three rolled away, it's not shikha. Okay, so in essence, this eshko, the chatzi eshko, is a fine which we imposed upon you if you didn't put your grapes into a basket. Okay? Says more further, but Rabbi Ami Omer, excuse me, I just did that. How you were swinging, kumin, sniffing? If they were made like little branches, so the Pnei Moshe says it's going on the hutznei pishton, on the flax. Why it's called hutznei? That hutznei means like sniffing. They're like little branches. But here he has a different shot here in the Kavanoki. He says, I forgot, but let me find it quickly. He says that he says that if they were all clustered, if there are a whole bunch of clusters together, right, which not a whole bunch of clusters, a whole bunch of grapes which were made together like branches. A sneef in Hebrew is a branch, right? So I think sneef, if they're all branched together, if they're all connected, the grapes, then that's considered to be significant, and therefore it's not considered to be shikha, right? In other words, let's say you have three grapes on a branch, so then in that case, even though it's one branch, since there are many grapes on the branch, it's not considered to be shikha, you can go back and get it. Which means Zanim really essentially only get specific grapes. They never really ever get branches, right? They only get individual grapes, unless there are two grapes, but they don't get three grapes.
It's tied up like the Ministry of Tourism logo.
What?
The Ministry of Tourism logo in Israel. They have it
two people, yeah.
So that for sure is tied up.
Those are tied together. Yeah, sure. That's a bundle. I mean, yeah. Well, I'm not sure what the halacha is by a vineyard. That really falls into the parameter of if where they forget one of those, it's really shikha. Peret is the equivalent to, you know, of something leaving something attached to the tree, generally speaking, or isolated grapes falling out. What the Gemara never discusses, and I think there's no concept of forgetting a basket of grapes out in the field. We have a concept of forgetting tzvurei zeisim, but I don't know if there's a concept of forgetting bundles of grapes. In other words, grapes are so choshev that the Torah never, if you forgot a bundle or a basket of grapes, I don't see it discussed anywhere that should be considered something which you have to leave out for the Aniyim to take. So perhaps you don't have to. I'm just hypothesizing. I might be proved wrong sometime later, but I'm hypothesizing at the moment. Says the Gemara, Vushia Chotcha Meshove. This again is something which is hard to understand. What does Chotcha Meshove mean? So, let's see what the Bnei Moshe says. I don't know. I'm not sure what to even do with this line. Vushia Chotcha Meshove. He says that it means that, forget the Bnei Moshe, the Kavanoki says that it's talking about that they have to be cut as one and fall as one. So then, if they cut as one and fall as one, so then all are considered, they're considered to be three. In other words, all of the grapes on that branch are joined together and they're not considered to be peret. But if one of them is cut off before the other two, then they're considered to be peret and they go to the Aniyim. So I'm not sure, it's hard for me to even understand the scenario, but seems to be what he's saying is that the other branch was started off with three, so when it falls with three intact, so then I can say it's not peret. But if one of them falls off before the other two, or vice versa, so then it's considered to be peret, and you must leave that which remained. If you didn't actually pick it up, if it fell out of your hand, it's left for that which left for the Aniyim to come and take it. All right, it's somewhat difficult. Says more in any event. Rabbi Avun. Rabbi Avun said, "Tamay le Beishamai. What's large Beishamai? Who said he need four in order for the Baal Bais to retain ownership? Because it says Lager Leyasom." Valmona, yeah. So that means that if there are three, Ger, Yosom, and Almona, then it goes to the Oni still. Okay? Ger, Yosom, Almona, three. So any group of three goes to Anim. He's darshaning the words, Ger, Yosom, and Almona, as being three. Not in this pasuk. Tamay the Basil, what's Laji Basil? Because they have another pasuk that says, Loni Vlager Tazovosom. Which means only two. Loni Lager. Amrei Mother Mother said no. Shnei Mikra Echad Dorsh. They both dash in the first pasuk. Lager Yitzom V'Amano Yeh. Beishamai says Yeh means Tanim. Beisorim no Yeh to whom it belonged before, which is Labala Bais. So Beisil learns that three goes Yeh remains its spot. It goes to Labala Bais. Beishamai Darshan's Yeh means goes Tanim. So then they're both focusing on darshaning the same pasuk. Okay, new Mishnah, Halacha. Omer Sheish Bo Sasayim, Omer which is very large, a bundle which has two saw in it, Mishach when you forgot it, and Oshikha Tzagas Mishikha. Shnei Omer Imuvem Sasayim, what if you had two bundles? And together made a saw Sasayim, which was a saw each. Gomel Omer Ba'abayas, Gomel says the same thing, Ba'abayas gets to keep it. V'chach Omer Imim Lani Yechachem says it goes to the Anim. Omer Gomel says, fascinating logic. Says, well, you know why, Rabbi Gamliel says, you know why I'm right? So he says, Merov Amorim, Yofi Kochosh Bais, or Yehura Kochosh Bais. The more Amorim you have, is it better for the Baal Bais or worse for the Baal Bais? It's better because if you drive it up to three, then the Baal Bais gets to keep it, right? The more Amorim you have, the more likely a chance that the Baal Bais gets to keep the stuff which he forgot. So they conceded that point. Amrulay, so he said to him, Yofi Kocho, the more you have, the better it is for the Babas. Amrulem, so he said to him, if that's the case, mine, Bizmanchu Omer Echad. Who wrote the time, if when it's one Omer and there's two saw in it, and a Shikha, it's not Shikha, Shnei Omerim, two Omerim, Muvam Sasayim, and you have a double saw in them, and Odin Shloy Shekha is not a Kavachomer, then it's not Shikha. Amrulay, so they said to him, no. The logic is not based just on quantity, it's based on concept. a double omer is like a gadish. It's like a pile, and piles don't have a din of being forgotten. Only sheaves can be forgotten, not piles. But that's only true if you have a double omer in and of itself, not two omerim which make up a sa'im. Then it's not like a pile, right? It's two omer. So that's, he says, that's what they say. If they said it by one omer, which is like a gadish, because it's so large, you're going to say by two omer, even if both, each one is a saw, it's still only like bundles. So there's no comparison. However, this is also derived. If you have a patch in the field which has two saw and has not yet been harvested, you forgot it, it's not shikha. If it doesn't have a sosaim because it's a bad year, it's a famine year. But in a regular year, it could make a sosaim. Even if it's so lousy now that it's growing barely beans. Beans here is a type of crop. It's a type of crop. It also indicates that it's not growing very much at all, right? You have only very little grain growing there, as if it was a paltry crop of beans, not actually a good crop of grain. Nonetheless, since in a good year it could make so sign, we look at it as if it now is actually barley, which means that we look at it as if it's growing its full amount, and therefore you don't have to, if you forgot it, you can go back and take it. Okay? It says the Gemara, says, if you harvest, you harvest out of the field of Shachach, the Omer, so then you begin an Omer in the field. Omer Shatzal Yocho Lifshot Yodcho Litlo. It has to be an Omer, which you, what kind of Omer is considered to be Shikho? Once you can stick out your hand and grab it, hold it. But an Omer which has Sa'im, it's too large to grab. So it's too large to grab, it's not Shikho. Some of the Tanoim learned the following, or some versions of the Brisa learned the following. For Shochach the Omer, where you have to forget an Omer in order for it to be a Shikha, a low Godish and not a pile. So two saw, it's not just that you can't grab it, also it's considered ready to be a pile. Hey Chavita, what's the difference between the two reasons? Hey Chavita is like my nafkimina. What's the case? What's the case which is a distinction between the two opinions? Shochach omer echad b'tzido. What happens if you forgot a double omer and next one you forgot another omer, but regular size omer? In tavdine omer, if you're going to say if you're going to say that the first one still has the din of omer. Right, since it's such a large omer, so therefore it itself is exempt, but it doesn't help the other one next to it. Divra kol shikha, everybody would agree that the one next to it is shikha, because that one is, if the first one's an omer, so it might have some exception, but the one next to it is not saved as a result. There is no havamina to say that. However, v'in tavidne godish, if you're going to say that this one is considered to be, since it's so large, considered ready to be a pile, that's machlokas beisham and beisilo. Beisham says if you forgot an omer next to a pile, next to a gadish, it's not shikha. It was one of the coolest of beisham. Shammai says, well, if you forget an omer next to a landmark such as a gadish, it's not shikha. So if you held that the double one is so large it's considered ready to be a pile, to be a gadish, then the omer next to it is saved as a result as well, according to beisham, albeit not according to beisilo. Says Gemara, Shachach Shnei Omerim B'tzido, or another case of Nafkinu B, let's say you forgot this double size Omer, and actually you forgot another two. In Tavidnei Omer, if you're going to say that the double sized one is considered to be an Omer, so we have Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Then we have Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, because, great, now we have, here it's a Kula, according to Beis Hillel, if you consider an Omer. Because if you consider an Omer, and it's next to the other two, so then you have three. According to Beis Hillel, is it Shikha? No, right? Because there three arrangements of Baal Bos. Only according to Beis Shammai is it Shikha, because Shammai says in order to Baal Bos keep it, how many do you have to have? Four. So in this case, it could be Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai the other way. In Tavidnei Gadish, if you're going to say, however, that the double Omer is considered to be a Gadish, So eino nidon kishura. It's not considered to be like a row. In other words, a row would be where you had three omarim in a row. We had this already several times. You had three omarim in a row. So in that case, everybody agrees that it's not considered to be forgotten, right? But here, it's going to depend that these two omarim, which are next to the big one, which is like a godish, is really going to be a machlokas based on Beis Shammai again. They're going to Beis Shammai, it's going to be considered not to be shikha, because these two are next to a godish. According to Beis Hillel, it is going to be shikha. Hi, you have three in a row? No, it's not three in a row. It's not a shura, because one of them is a godish and the other two are omarim, right? So, because one of them is double size. So therefore, in this case, we would say, again, with this being Malchukas, Beisil, and Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel would come out being Machmir and saying that they're all forgotten. The other two are forgotten. Beis Shammai would be Mekel and say it's not forgotten. Okay, says Gemara, Rabbi Yoina. Rabbi Yoina says, "Ki tiktor kitzircha basodeh v'shachachta omer basodeh." It says, when you forget, when you're harvesting the field, and you forget omer in the sodeh, then it's shikha. Omer sheish bo sasayim v'shachol, and omer which has sasayim, which has two saw, and you forgot it, eino shikha. It's not going to be shikha because it's not considered to be, what? Right, it's considered to be so too significant. I forgot how he wants to learn that explicitly from the pasuk. He says, this is going on the end of this is going on the end of the Mishnah. Really, it's saying that. There's a linkage drawn between the cuts here and comma. It's really, you see, I just stopped in the middle of the sentence. That's the problem. Rabbi Yehuda Rebbe said, "Ki siktor ketzircha besada v'shachachta om besada om sheish besar sholcho ed shikha." That we know already. That's a given. That we know from Moralf. Kama sheyesh bo sheyisosayim sholcho ed shikha as well. This is the chiddush here. That when you're kaitzer in the field, and your shochach, whatever by an omer is not considered to be shikha, also in the katzir is not considered to be shikha. So if an omer sheish bo sasayim is considered not to be shikha, so to a kama, a standing patch in the land which has two saw, is not considered to be shikha, you can go ahead and harvest it again afterwards. Says Mar Rabbi Yosi said, concerning the end of our Mishnah, where it said that even if it's a bad year, and that patch is not actually producing a sasayim, since it could produce sasayim in a good year, so therefore it's exempt from shikha. Says Mar Bilvad Shibolin, as long as it has stalks there, it shouldn't be beans. As we said, even if it's lousy like beans, but not that it is beans, right? If it is beans, so then just because it was great it could make tusa, it doesn't exempt it from being shikha now because it's beans. So it has to be grain which could make tusa in that area, even though now it's so rotten that it's losing much less as if it was beans. Hoyudakos, how does this work, the end of the Mishnah? If they were small, or rather thin, Roina Sokila Rukos, we see them as if they're strong and long. Shadufos, if they're beaten by the sun or blighted. Roina Sokila Mleos, we see that we look at them as if they're full, and that's how the term is Shikhanat. Okay, next Mishnah, Lachavav. Koma Matzeleth Es Omer Ves HaKoma. If you have standing grain, which is a Sasayim, and next to it is an Omer, or another comma, another patch which is less than a sasayim, it's saved. Va'omer, or vice versa, a sheev, which you have not forgotten, eino matzil los omer los comma, does not save another omer nor another comma. Ezui comma shimatzelos is omer. Where do we have a case where standing grain saves a sheev? Koshe neshikha, that's true even if you don't have a sasayim. Even if it's not a sasayim of kama, but rather one stalk which is not forgotten. You forgot everything else, but there's one stalk which is not forgotten over here. And next one is a big sheave which is forgotten. That one stalk saves the sheave next to it. The sheave is not considered to be now to be shikha. How you forgot it? but since it's next to a stalk, which you didn't forget, that saves it. Okay? Says the Gemara, Sa'at Tvua Kura, if you have a saw of grain which is already uprooted, V'seh Shena Kura Su'ah saw which is not uprooted, V'chein Be'ilon, and so too in a tree, Hashum V'Abtsolim, garlic and onion, even though they're similar, they're both sharp. Aim and starving, they don't join up in these cases to make a sell sign. Rabbi Yossi Amer, Ibas, Rishus, Ani, Be'em, Tzayim, and starving. If there's another domain of the Ani in the middle, there's no joining between the sell sign. Vilavre, Lim, and starving. If there's no domain of the Ani in the middle, there they do join together. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Omar, Rabbi said, Kisik Tzor, Kitzircha, Basode v'shachachta omer basode. It says you are harvesting your harvest in the field, and you forgot an omer in the field. Omer shesivos of katzir, and omer which is surrounded by cut grain, is considered to be shecha. V'lo omer shesivos of kum, as opposed to omer surrounding which is standing grain. V'lama omer shesivos of v'lama. Why is this? Omer shesivos of omrin v'lo omer shesivos of kama. Says the Gemara, because we learn out an omer which is surrounded by omrin, not an omer which is shesivos of, which is surrounded by standing grain. Omer shesivos of omrin. Why is that true? Because an omer which is surrounded by omrin, masha tachtav sadeh, that which underneath it is considered to be a field. It's omer besadcha. We learned tzadcha means ground which is clear. So therefore, if you have a bundle which is surrounded by other bundles, only that one in the middle is shikha, the other ones don't save it. The other ones don't save it because that is a katzi, an omer in the sadeh. Why? Because everything around it is considered to be a sadeh. Hi, there's bundles all around it, but underneath the bundles is flat field. The bundles are incidental to the field. However, if it's surrounded by standing grain, omer shesivos of kama, mashatacht of kashin, that which underneath it is not called a soda. It's called stalks. Because there, the stalks, the standing grain around it is considered to be not incidental, but essentially part of the field itself. So it's a very interesting drosh, a little bit difficult, and the Kavanaki has a different interpretation of how to read this Gemara, different gears as well, but the interpretation here is, how do I know that standing grain saves sheaves, but other sheaves do not save sheaves, unless I forget three together. But otherwise, the surrounding sheaves do not save the sheaf in the middle, because it says, if you forget an omer and a sota, sota can be a sota which is full of sheaves as well. So the sheaves surrounding the forgotten sheaf do not save from being shikha. However, where the surrounding field is standing grain, so that's not considered to be sotcha, and in that case, that saves, the surrounding grain saves the sheaf in the middle which was forgotten. Okay? Again, as I said, the Xeris Kosov is a bit iffy, this kind of derivation of the word sadcha and how to learn it, but I don't make up the stuff, I just read it to you. Says the Gemara further. Tani, we learned. Kamas chavero, a very interesting kula, according to Tanakama here. If my standing grain, Matzel Shoshlo, saves your forgotten sheaf. Shagoi, my neighbor is a goy, his standing grain, Matzel Shoshlo, saves the Jew's grain. Shochitim, standing grain of wheat, matzel shel shorim, es shel shorim, staves barley grain. All this is divrei Rabbi. Chachomim, of course, argue. Chomrim, eno matzelas ela shelo. It only saves your grain. Veino matzelas amino, it only saves if it's the same type, not a different type. Tani we learn, Rabbi Shulam Leo Mer, Kashem Shakova, matzelas es over. Just like standing grain saves a sheaf, kacha omer matzelas akoma, so too a sheev, which is not forgotten, saves kama, which is forgotten. The reverse of the case we had before, that we say before, if even one stalk was not forgotten, it saves a sheev which was forgotten. Right? Here it's the opposite. A sheev which is not forgotten, according to Shun Gamliel, saves a standing patch, which of course is less than a sign, because otherwise it would be safe on its own, which is not saved. Okay? So he learns that it's reflexive. So it says the Gemara is all part of this price. Or again, umay makoma. Vidino, it's a logic. Umay makoma shiofa bo kachani. And it's amazing logic here, which Gemara gives. Koma, the Ani has greater authority to take. Standing grain, what does an Ani get from standing grain? How many? How many matanos? That's true, but for some reason the Mepharshim don't take into account here. He gets three. You're right, he gets Maitroni as well, but what does he get essentially? Lekesh Chompeya, right, right. So from standing grain, look at this amazing Kavachomer Gamliel makes. Says Gamliel, if standing grain, where the Oni has more rights to get, Vishachacha, if you forget it, Hare Matzeles, it saves the Omer, which is next to it, Omer, a sheev. Shehula b'kachani, from which the Oni can get less, because he can't get Be'er from a sheev, right? He can't get Leket from a sheev. What can he get from a sheev? Only Shikha. So Omer, which is Rula b'kachani, where the Oni has less capacity to take from it, Eino, didn't she ask us now a kavachomer that it saves the standing grain? It's an amazing kavachomer. If standing grain were on, he's got more power, that saves an Omer. So Omer, where the Oni has less power, that certainly should save the Koma. You don't like it, do you? It's much more Yerushalmi Dick, but you're right, it's Tanoim, so it should be in the Bavli too. You're right, I don't know, I'm not called. It's comparing apples and oranges. It is, but his son, Rabbi Huda Nasi, says that to him. Amlo Rabbi said, Ma'im kama shiyofa koch aniva. Learn it the other way around. Kama, standing grain, where Noni gets a lot from it, he gets leg shechem pay from it, nonetheless, ushachacha, when you forget it, it can save. He changed the gear, so here, just a minute, let me make sure I get it right. That's right. He changed gears like this. Listen to his gears. Malakama shayofakach ani ba. Kama, the Ani has more authority in it. True. But he might sell us laomer. The point is, let's look at what it's saving. It saves an omer shekein hura koch ani bo. It saves an omer in which an Ani has more... I'm sorry, an Ani has less authority. Yatzil omer shura koch ani bo. Who says the opposite is true? Maybe the omer, precisely because... although the omer is hura koch ani bo, the omer itself is less affiliated with the Ani, yet perhaps it won't save the Kama Shiyavikach Aniba, because the Kama has more power to be given, to the Ani has more power over. In other words, Rebbe comes along and he turns it over and he says, Adarabba, you're looking at the Matzil, at the thing that saved your. And he's saying, well, if Kama can be Matzil, which Ani has more authority over, certainly Omer can be Matzil, where an Ani has less authority over. Let's look at the Nitzol, the saved. Right, the thing which is being saved, in the first, a Kama might be able to save an Omer, because an Omer in and of itself is something to which an Ani has less affinity. But maybe vice versa, for an Omer to save a Kama, where a Kama has much more affinity to an Ani, maybe in that case, it doesn't work. Maybe don't look at the Omer, which is the savior, which is is more distantly removed from the Ani. Rather, look at that which you're trying to save, the Kama, and say this is not going to work because the Kama is something which is more that of the Anis. So again, one more time. Rav Shinga Meir looked at the thing which saves, the savior. He said, well, if karma saves, which is the Ani has more power over, nonetheless it saves for the Baal Bas, certainly Omer, where the Ani has less authority over, which inherently is more connected to the Baal Bas, that certainly should save. Rebbe said, let's look at the thing which is being saved. Maybe an Omer can be saved, because an Omer is inherently distanced from an Ani. But maybe Kama can never be saved, not even by another Omer, because it is much more that of the Ani. It's much more of the Ani's jurisdiction to begin with. So says the Gemara, Lamaise, says the Gemara, from both of them we can learn Matzilin Omer mi Omer, that an Omer could save an Omer. That's for sure, because an Omer is less ability Ani. So therefore, an Omer could save an Omer. That's for sure. However, according to both of them, Ein Matzilin Kama mi Kama. They're both told you can't save Kama with Kama. Why? Because Kama is more affiliated to an Ani, so therefore you can't save Kama with Kama, because it's inherently that more than Anim. Now this is not like our Mishnah. The Kavanoki points out, our Mishnah said Kama is Matzil Kama and Kama is Matzil Amorim. Here he's saying, we said in our Mishnah, even one stalk of standing grain could save an Omer. But since Rebbe and Rabbi Shin Gamliel's father were looking at the relative affinity of the commodity in question to the Ani, that changes the din from our Mishnah, which did not look at that at all. Our Mishnah just looked at whether it was forgotten or not forgotten. They're throwing the additional factors of how much it is relevant to the Ani already. That is something which our Mishnah never took into account. Okay? Says Gemara further. Haim shochach shikicha. It says that where'd you forget here?
Two questions. Am I up for Allah?
One second. Yeah, this is talking about the Mishnah said, when you have Kama, what Kama is Matzil sa Omer? When is Kama save the Omer? Whenever you didn't forget the Kama. So, what happens if later on you forgot the Kama? You had Kama standing, it saved an Omer next to it. Then you forgot the Kama. Afterwards. What? The Kama saved the Omer, then you forgot. No. Oh, you took the Omer, right. And then you forgot the Kama. So it sounds like a shikha, right? I'm shokach after a shokacha. Right? Says more, no, could be it's not. Could be that's only tipata, but shokach is a kama tchila. It could be once the Omer is remembered. The Omer save, the kama saves the Omer, then the Omer saves the kama.
Even though it's not in the field anymore.
But it could be the only time the kama could become shikha is if you forgot the kama before you came and took the omer. That's what I'm saying. Again, if the kama saves the omer, then the omer saves the kama. Right? And that's where that, even if you got out of the kama, the fact that there was at the time you took the omer, you knew that the kama was there, that's sufficient to save it. However, if the Kama saved the Omer, and before you took the Omer, you forgot the Kama again, that's considered to be true Shikha. Because that means that the time you took the Omer, you had forgotten the Kama. In that case, the Kama becomes forgotten. Not again, the first time. The first time. So again, let's go through it one more time. You forgot the Kama. Then you came to get the Omer.
You forgot the Omer. The Karma saved it. Then, when you take the Omer, at that time you remember the Karma, but then you forgot the Karma. Subsequently. In that case, the Omer saved the Karma. Because the time you got the Omer, you knew the Karma was there, so it was saved. However, it says the Yerushalmi, if at the time you collected the Omer, you had already forgotten the Karma at that point, so then the Omer doesn't save it, and that Karma is lost to you. Okay? See that inside again? Says Marvim Shokach. Hayim Shokach Shokach. If you forgot, it's forgotten. Says Martipata, that's only true, but Shokach is the Karma Tchila, where you forgot the Karma before you collected the Omer, which is adjacent to it. Okay. Says the Yerushalmi further. Hayim Ayushtein Akros. It says that, it says in the Mishnah that, it's not mitzarif. It doesn't join together. Sounds like if you have two saws and two omarim, which already cut down, they are mitzarif, and it goes to the Baal Bais. That's like Rabbi Gamliel, who in the previous mission said that the double amount does not have to mean one omer, even the two omarim together, that already saves. Okay, that's like Rabbi Gamliel. Ask more about the Lamaisa, but Tatsu Akura Shein Akura. Says the Gemara, let that which is uprooted already, the Omer, save the Kama, which is not yet uprooted. Right, where you have two together. We said Akura Vishein Akura is not Mitztarib, only Akura and Akura. Why not? Let the Akura save the Eino Akura. Let stuff which is uprooted at Omer save the Kama. Hadamara, so says the Gemara, this teaches us that which you said before. The Kama, which could have saved the Omer, but then was forgotten at the time you collected the Omer, it's forgotten forever. In other words, in this case, in the only way which the Omer could save the Kama is at the time of the you collect the Omer, you realize the you still are aware of the Kama. But if by the time you collected the Omer, you're no longer aware of the Kama, that Kama is lost forever. Tipater. Now, this case is talking about it's continuation. Rabbi Yonah is rejecting the premise. Says, well, it could be really an Omer does save the Kama. Here, maybe the reason why the Omer doesn't save the Kama is because it's talking about Tipater B'Kaitzer Shura Amir, that you cut a row and you take the Omer away before you go to the next Shura. In other words, here, the Omer was over here. There's Kama's over here. In the next row, this Omer cannot save this Kama. It could be that an Omer can save a Kama if they're in the same row. And even if you forgot the Kama by the time you take the Omer, since the Omer was next to it, you remember the Omer, maybe it saves the Kama. Here, the Omer doesn't save the Kama because the Omer's in the next row from the Kama. So by the time you, and as you took, finished this row, you took the Omer away into your house. So by the time he got to the next shura, to the next row, there's already no omer to save that karma which is in the next row. Says the Gemara, again, because the shura umamer, as you harvest each row, you gather it up out of there, and therefore you already forgot the Kama, Ad Shalo Shokach Esa Omer, until... I don't know how to read this line. Let me make sure I got this right. Okay, I made a boo-boo. Let's go back in line. At least call the Kavanaki I kid. I did. Says Gemara. No, it's okay. He changes one word here. He changes one word. The first word on the page, I don't know, you have a different pagination, but the first word on our page on Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph was Vitatzil. See that? He changed it to Vititzol. Vititzol, he reads it, Vititzol Akura Shein Akura. Let the Akura be saved. Why the Ein Akura? Yeah. Right? The Omer should be saved because of the Kama. This is talking about a case where you have saw Akura, saw Shein Akura, right? You have one saw which is uprooted, one which is already harvested, one which is not yet already harvested. So he's asking, the question here which the Yerushalmi is asking is, let the one which is already harvested, let the Akura be saved because of the Shein Akura of the standing grain. I read it Vitatzil. Let that which is the way it's written in our Gemara, which means let the one which is already akur, the omer, save the kama. He changed the girsa because of the same reason, because of that which I just got stuck. He's changed the vetitzo akura, let that which is already harvested be sold by she'en akura, by that which is not already harvested. Hada amara, so the from here we see, davashu roi latzil, bishacha, something which is suitable to save, which is the kama, right, which could have saved the omer at the time. Now it's too late. When you forget both of them, so then neither of them can be retrieved. Neither the omer nor the kama, which goes against everything we learned till now. Again, here the question is, let the kama save the omer. And the Gemara is saying, by virtue of the fact that the kama, right, you have one saw of kama, one saw of omer. Let the kama save the omer. Since the kama doesn't save the omer, it must be that even though you forgot the kama after the omer, when you forgot it forever and there's no salvation anymore. Which is difficult. Because we said before, it should be considered saved already. It shouldn't be a problem afterwards. That's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is, it says, Gemara, tipater b'koitzer shurim amer. It's talking about where you cut a row and made it into sheaves and bundled it off. V'kvar shokach es hakama, and you already forgot the kama, ad shelo shokach es omer, before you forgot the omer. In other words, what happened is like this. You cut a row, right? You cut a row, and then... Well, let me just make sure I'm going to translate this correctly now. It's not a teretz.
Right, no, it's a kasha. Hadam radavashu roi latzev shokha shokha, which is a problem. We're deriving that even though the kama should have saved the omer, nonetheless, subsequently, both of them become shikha, which is a problem. That should not be the case. So that's where Rabbi Yonah comes along and says this teretz, that this is only talking about a case where you forgot the kama prior to forgetting the omer. How do you have such a case? Tipater b'koitzer shura, where you harvest the row. Okay, I got it. Okay. What happens is like this. You have two rows. Two rows right there. So here what happens is, if you harvested this row, made it an omer, and left this row as kama at that time, right?
the row next to it, then this comma saves this omer. The comma saves the omer. There's no way it can be shikha at this point, because this comma, which is not yet shikha, saves this. We're talking about where you cut a row and then cut the next row and then go back and make this an omer. By the time this is omer, this is cut and already forgotten. So this cannot save this omer. You see what happens? You're kotzer shura, and then kotzer another shura, and then you're ma'amer this shura. So therefore, this one cannot save that one. That's why, in this case, we say that lemaisa, theoretically, the comma should always save the omer next to it. But that's only if this was an omer at the time this was a comma. But if this was bakat, and then this was cut next to it, and then this was made an omer afterwards, there's no way this can save. That's what he's answering here. Okay? So I'm not sure. It needs a somewhat of a steam shovel to fit that into the words exactly. But that's the concept. The potter b'koitzer sodu ma'amer, you're cutting your field, the whole field. You're koitzer shura ma'amer, you're cutting your line, your row, and doing omer, however, kfar shalos a comma, achlo shalos omer, you already forgot the comma next to it before you forgot this omer over here. Now I see, lemais, I don't have to say it. It's not as difficult as I translated. It's really much more baobatish. You had this over here, which is this is an omer, it's true. But you forgot this comma before you made this an omer. In other words, the Rishami, with all the convolutions of the language, there's one simple lesson the Rishami teaches us as the bottom line. If when this is an omer, this is a comma, and it's not forgotten, this comma saves this omer forever. The only time this comma does not save this omer is if by the time this became an omer, this comma is already forgotten. Regardless of whether it was cut or not, when this comma is forgotten, it doesn't save this omer anymore. Well, as long as this comma was not forgotten, it does save the omer. Okay? That's all. That's really the bottom line of the Yerushalmi. Says the Gemara, what's the halacha? Achetovo mamish? Let's talk about the last case in the Mishnah. The last case in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said, "In Basrushus Ani Emtza, if there was an area which the Ani got in the middle of two Sa'ah, so then they're not Mitzdarif." So it sounds like Pashup Shad is that here's a Sa'ah, here's another Sa'ah, and in the middle there's an area for which an Ani already took Leket. So that it separates those two, they're not considered being so assigned together, and they're shikha. Says Yushami, is it talking about Taka Chitova Mamish, that an Oni literally came and took Lekin from here? Or Filo Nire Slavi, even if an Oni could have gotten Lekin from the middle already? What's the case? So it says, Sayyid Meforshim, even at wherever there's anything in the middle which is different than these two, it's considered as if the Oni took Lekin already. Hi, he didn't. But that, by definition, means it's separate in terms of its leket. Even if it's just a separate crop, and then these sosaim are not going to join together. So nishmina min ador, and that's learned out from the following braisa, where it says, kigon tfuah v'kerem, if this is grain, and this is grain, and there's a kerem in the middle. Right? So even though you have sosaim of grain on each side, the kerem in the middle, the kerem lo lasaru, isn't it just... It's hard to translate that line as well. Literally, lost time means isn't it in the place? Meaning that that's all the difference between the two. The kerem wasn't necessarily harvested yet. There isn't necessarily any distinction vis-a-vis leket in that kerem in the middle. Yet nonetheless, it has different parameters vis-a-vis leket. Hodomara that teaches us, afilu nireis lavi, even if the oni has not yet gone through the middle between the two saws, they are considered to be separate. What?
The farmer's not going to designate the central area for leket.
How can you not designate it for leket?
He's going to designate...
Not pay a leket. Leket is where it falls from his hand, not pay. Okay. Boy, bruising and battering evening. I knew it was going to be this way, but I didn't realize it would be this tough. Oh, Tzvua Shanitna L'Sodin. Ol Aluma, let's try to finish the perek. Tzvua Shanitna L'Shachas Ol Aluma. Grain, which you're going to give to animal fodder, or even worse, you're just going to use it to bale hay. It's such a dismal crop, it's not worth it for the grain value in and of itself. The same thing is true in general about bundles of garlic. And bundles of garlic and onions. There's no shikha on them. It has to be an omer. These are not omers. These are either being used for different purposes or they're not considered to be omer because they're not grain. Kalt winning boards, anything buried in the ground. Going aluf, fashum, vabtsolim. These are all crops which grow on the ground. There is no shikha. Chomer, yeshim, shikha. Chomer say they do have shikha. Says more Rabbi Yoino. Rabbi Yoino said, lo sof tovar nitna. Not just if it's ready, if it's been given over to be used for bundles or for animal fodder. Feel no glum, not seen none, even if eventually it's going to be used for that purpose, right now it has no leket, right now it has no shikhan it, because it's not considered to be a crop for human consumption. So you know, we learn concerning the end of our Mishnah, which says, stuff which is buried, there is not considered to be any issue. It's a machlokus. Whether in that case there's considered to be any shikha enough, so or not. Can you tell what we learned over there? Amalika sagodish baba kama. If I put fire, it's very very interesting halacha. I've set fire to your crop, and in your crop you hid expensive stuff. Gold vessels, you know, art paintings. Do I have to pay you for that? So it's machlokas. Says the Gemara, Amalis Goshvil became there was expensive stuff hidden in the Gaddish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishalim Koma Shemtocha, I have to pay the entire value. Even that which is buried inside. I'll have to pay you for the grain value, not for the paintings or whatever else is in there. Says Mara, whoa. This is a contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Tama there, Baba Kama, I'm sorry. Here there in Baba Kamor, it says the rabbi's told me you pay for the buried kalim. You have to pay the guy for the stuff which he hid in the grain. But here, v'kah who omer prat l'tamun. Here it says tamun is excluded from shikha. So which one is it? Is tamun considered to be chayav because we recognize it as being significant, or is tamun considered to be potter from shikha because it's insignificant? Is it significant or not? It's a good kasha. Says the Gemara, it's no kasha. The time on there, it says, v'nechol ha-godish ha-kama. It says the fire consumes the pile of the standing grain. V'mashma sh'nem ha-kama, since it talks about standing grain, any of their shagish b'chal, though I not know that includes the pile of grain. Matam lomba godish, why does it say godish as well? The rabbis, the teacher, to include that which is buried, that if you're a fire, set fire to that which is tamun, I have to pay for that separately. However, hacha, here it says, what's chayv and shikha? Sodcha, your field, the gully, that which is revealed. Prat l'tamun, as opposed to tamun, that's not chayv and shikha. What about Mechafa Shita Sayyid Rabbanan? Rabbanan Shita is also reversed. Tamun Inu Nomrim Prat L'Tamun. There Rabbanan say it excludes Tamun. Right there Rabbanan say don't pay for the Tamun, just pay for the grain. V'koyinu Nomrim L'Rabbas Tamun. Here they say Tamun is included in Lekha Chikhan in Shekha. Says Mar Tamun there, it says O'a Kama O'a Sade. It says it burns either the fire burns either the Kama or the Sade. My Sada Begoli, just like Sada, is that which is revealed. I've called over Shigoli, so to anything which is revealed. As opposed to Talmud. Talmud is not revealed, there you don't have to pay. Param Hocha, but here it says, Sarcha Begalui Prat Litamum. It says Sarcha, which is revealed, which excludes Tamun. So it says Kitzircha Prat Begalui, which is also revealed, Prat Litamum, which excludes Tamun. Have a mute, achar mute. So it's a double exclusion. If you have a double exclusion, that means it's an inclusion, and that means Tamun is chayav in Shikha. Okay? Says the Gemara, it says the Mishnah for Ches, very interesting Mishnah. Hakaitzer b'layla. I'm an idiot, but I'm harvesting at night. So of course I'm going to forget stuff. Is that Shikha? Take a guess. No. Ah, wrong. Right, because it's not shikha is where it was revealed or apparent and you missed it, but there it's not revealed. So too, Amer, if somebody is bundling at night, same idea. Wait a minute. Well, I was wrong. You guys are right. Oh, boy. Sorry. I apologize. You guys are right. Whoops. Yeah. Wait, wait. Sorry about that. Okay. Hakotzva has some of you harvest at night. Uma'amer or bundles at night. Fasumor, a blind person. Yesh lo shikha. They all are shikha, even a blind person. Rimayam is commonly told sagas agas. If, however, he intended to take only the coarse granules right now, and of course he forgot some thin granules, thin stalks, and he might have forgotten the thick stalks as well, but he intended to make two passes, right? He intended to come back, so therefore, ain lo shikha is no shikha. Imamar, if a person, however, said explicitly, I'm harvesting on the condition that which I forget, I'll come back and take later on. Yeshlo shikha, there is shikha. The Gemara will explain why the Gemara. Kini masnis, and this is a way to read our Mishnah. Doesn't work. It's not masnamash kosabatar. The Gemara is going to tell us that. Kini masnis, this is a way to read our Mishnah. Hakoitzer v'alaylo, somebody is harvesting at night. V'amar v'alaylo, somebody above this night. The suma bein b'yom v'bein b'alaylo, and a blind person gathering both at day and at night. It's all shikha. Arm Rabbi Yonarev said, lo sof tover ga'asin. It's not just when he's his original intent was to collect the thick ones. But even his original intent was to collect the thin ones. The chimiacha shadarko livchom begasin, that since he can tell which are the gasin and leaves them and comes back for them. Afilu dakin emem shigoso so to the da. So, I'm not sure if I'm reading that right. Just a second. I'm right. Okay, I'm right. So say again, los of tovar gasin. It's not just the way your original first pass was for the thick ones. El aftakin, even the way your first pass was the thin ones. The chimeacha shadarkali bochin begasin, since it's going to come back to find the thick ones. I feel dakin, even the thin ones you forgot. Ain't shikha, not shikha. Amarani koitza amunas mashani shokheach ani yeto. If he said, I'm harvesting on the condition, that which I forget, I'm going to come back and take afterwards. Yesh lo shikha doesn't work. There is shikha. He made an explicit condition against that which it says in the Torah. That anybody makes a condition against that which it says explicitly in the Torah, it's no batel, the tonight doesn't work, even though it's a tonight shebemamon. Doesn't work because that's only has to do with kinyonim. Not when you're going to cancel an entire mitzvah as a result, which is the mitzvah of shechicha. Okay? Let's just go a little bit further, get home at base. Kozai sheish lo shem besodeh. Any zayis which has a name in the field. Harold. Right? Your olive tree has a name. So in that case, afilu kazayis natofa, even if it's a generic name like the juicy zayis. Natofa means the one which drips oil. Right, so it's an adjective as opposed to a noun, right? It's not called Harold, it's called the drippy one, right? B'shaito, it's at the time when it drips. B'shako, and you forget it, ain't a shikra. Because since it's so kosh, if it's got a nickname, it's not shikra.
It's like the base of sign.
Right. Same idea as the base of sign. B'amed v'amurim, where is this true? B'shmo, when it's recognizable by its name, u'b'maiso, by its special productivity, u'b'komo, or it has a special place. Bishmo, what's a name? Shoshovchani, it's called the one which spills oil. Or Bishani, the one which is embarrassing because it produces so little oil. Bimaisa, it has a special singularity in its deeds. Shuosa Arbe, produces a lot. Bimokom, a special singularity in its place. Shoyim Bitsada Gaz, it's standing next to the press. Or Bitsada Pirates are next to an opening in the fence. So all those are not shikha. Bishar kol hazeh isim, all other alfshish, now if you get two shikha, shlosha, three, ain't a shikha. Rabbi Yosef, and shikha zeh, says there is no shikha by olives. Now why is that? Says Ma'amar, Rabbi Law says, Ksiv, it says, v'shokach to'im rabba sadeh, you forget an omer in the field. Omer shata shokach oliyayla, has been omer which you will always forget. Yotazeh, this excludes an olive tree which has a special name, shad zochalachas, which you remember afterwards. Because it's not generic, it has special distinguishing characteristics. Rabbi Yirmiyah, boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, Hoya Mesuyim Bedaito, we know from our Mishnah that if you had a special intent for it, Kimisha Mesuyim, that's considered to be Mesuyim. Doesn't necessarily have a name. As long as it sticks out of your mind, that's sufficient. However, this is my kasha. What if it, in and of itself, had no significance? But it was standing next to a palm tree, and the palm tree is significant. Hadeko Masaimo, does the deko Masaimo or not? Zev is a toifa. What about if they're both in the toifa, not one by itself, but you call both together, all these are in the toifas. So is that Messiah, the toifa area? Zev Masaimo, Zev is Zev Masaimo, Zev. Does it make the whole thing Muslim or not? His entire field, they're all drippy olives. Does that make the entire field Muslim or not? Says when the Shmini Minado, let's hear from the following case. Rabbi Yossi Meret says that Rabbi Yossi said, Ain Shichol Azaisin, now we are in a Mishnah. Vram Rabbi Shimon Yochum, Shimon Yochum said a fascinating thing, which the Gemara is going to argue on, we'll see tomorrow. Lomar Rabbi Yossi El Barishoina. When was this true? Only at the years ago. Shelo hoyu zeisim mitzuyim. There weren't a lot of olives in Eretz Yisrael. So since there weren't a lot of olive trees, everyone was chashuv. So there was no shikha by zeisim. What? No one would ever forget them. Avalach shabah dryness of Russia. Why is that? Because our dryness came, Hadrian, Be'achriv es ha'aretz, and destroyed Eretz Yisrael. But now that olives are prevalent, they have shikha again. So we see you can have many olive trees. According to Rabbi Yossi, at his time, every single olive tree in the land of Israel was considered to be kosher. So therefore, the toifa doesn't necessarily apply just to one. It can apply to multiple olive trees. We'll stop here for this evening.